Thanks for tuning in today, and welcome to today's podcast. Your host is Joe Love, a spiritual teacher, sixth sensory guide, and author. Let's get started.
We're going to have a really, really fun meetup tonight, a very, very interesting topic. I think you're going to like going further into the Akashic Records. The two objectives that we have, that I have, is number one, as we talk about these topics, hopefully you'll start to integrate where they really make sense into putting these principles into your everyday life, because leading a spirit-guided life makes things so wonderful, so effortless, one after the other, manifesting everything. In the other, we discussed just a few moments ago, with so much going on negative in the world, I hope that what we learn here is going to empower everybody that comes to the meetups to be leaders in your own way, whether you do healing work, whether you do coaching work, whether you do readings, that you take that out and light worker for others, because it is needed more now than ever before what we do. It really is. So I hope that you'll do that. Tonight we're going to take a closer look at the Akashic Records and personal relationships and how they tie into the Akashic Records. I want to start out with a little story about, again, a different from last time, about relationships and how they can be a little complicated at times. There was a couple, they had just come back on a Sunday from a friend's house. They're driving, and all of a sudden they hear a siren and they see the flashing lights. And the man's wife says to him, "What did you do?" And he said, "Just shut up. Just sit there and just shut up. Don't say anything." The policeman comes over and he said, "Do you know that you're going 40 in a 25-mile-hour speed zone?" And the wife said, "See, I told you you're going too fast." And he goes, "Just shut up. Just sit there and shut up." And the policeman shakes his head. And he said, "Also, you went through that red light." And she goes, "I told you it was red. Why did you go through that light?" And he turned to her and he said, "I told you. Shut up. Don't say another word." And the policeman said to the wife, he said, "Does he always treat you like this?" And she says, "Only when he's had too much to drink." So he was going to get three tickets that day. Okay, and that's how relationships can work. Those are the kind of things that happen. Whenever I talk about relationships in Akashic Records, people always want to hear about soulmates. That's the thing, soulmates. So let's jump right into soulmates in Akashic Records. Whether it's been a challenging relationship, you're looking for something better, or you're trying to improve a relationship that you're in, everyone wants to hear about soulmates. And so part of our problems with relationships is we were brought up as a child with fairy tales, where they have happy endings, like Sleeping Beauty, the princess and the enchanted frog, Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella. But no one ever told us what happened after happily ever after. And what happens after happily ever after is life. Sometimes life can be a lot more challenging on this physical plane than we desire it to be. To give you just a quick example, I had a woman that came to me several years ago. She had two children, husband happily married, but they were starting to have their difficulties. She came to me for a reading, and she told me that she had met her soulmate, but it wasn't her husband. I did the reading for her, and I tried to explain to her, as I was seeing through the spirit guides, that her husband was her soulmate, but also the man that she met that was her, she said was her ultimate soulmate, could be her soulmate, but that if she went with this other man, it wasn't necessarily going to make things better. As a matter of fact, it could be difficult, and it was what she would make of it. She didn't want to hear it. She got upset with me. She had met the man of her dreams, and that was it. She ended up leaving her husband. She divorced her husband, hurt her children and other members of her family, and moved in with this other man, and within 1 year, they were separated. So that didn't work either. So, I mean, it's what you make of it. And that's what the Akashic Records, teach us, that we have to really learn, and things can work out, and I'll get into that more often. Very often what happens in our relationships is that it brings to the forefront, we talked about this in forgiveness a lot, the issues, experiences, challenges that we have to work inside of ourselves. And people, they often act like a mirror that on things that we need to be learning to improve ourselves. And again, that's something we're going to talk about a little bit more later. And the challenge is that people will often say when they get into a relationship, especially after a few years of marriage, this often happens, is if he or she really loved me, they'd accept me the way that I am. Or they'll say, if the counter to that would be, if he or she really loved me, then they change. right? You know, you hear that a lot. There's a really ironic understanding over the years of how relationships really work, and that's where the Akashic Records really bring things together to learn from each other in our relationships. So what I want to do is just to go into where did this idea of soulmates really come from? If you do an internet search of soulmates, how many sites are you going to find? Probably tens of thousands, right? Maybe even 100,000 different sites. People are always interested in finding their soulmates. I was telling Linda and Jeannie the other night that if I wanted to just pack a huge auditorium with people and just make a real killing of money for one seminar, one workshop, I would just go out and advertise it and say, how to trade in your current soulmate and find a better one. That would pack the house, wouldn't it? So I want to take a quick look, and I'm going to summarize this first one, but I advise you when you have a chance to look into the story a little deeply because it's really interesting. The first story of soulmates goes back to BC with Plato. In summary, he described how originally the two human beings were together. They had two heads, four arms, four legs, two sets of genitalia, and some were two women combined, some were two men combined into one, and some were a man and a woman combined. The gods were on Mount Olympus. The humans got sick of the gods and decided, we have to overthrow them. We're tired of the gods. Some of the gods heard this rumbling. They went to Zeus and said, what do we do here? We have to kill all the humans. They want to overthrow us. And Zeus told them, well, if we do that, then there's nobody that's going to worship us. There's nobody going to bring us offerings. There's no one going to bring us gifts if we kill all the humans. So Zeus decided, what we're going to do here is we're going to divide all the humans into two. So then they'll only be half as strong and they can't overthrow us. They won't be as strong. So all humans were separated. They were divided into two women, divided into two men who were two men. They divided into two different men. The same thing with the man and the woman. They were separated into an individual man or a woman. And since that time, according to Plato, every soul has been looking for its other half. And that's how he determined soulmates. The interesting thing about Plato's story, though, if you delve into it more deeply, is that it's symbolic in virtually every culture, that theory of soulmates. If you look at the Old Testament, the Old Christian Testament in the Bible, there was Eve, and she was created out of Adam's side. And then if you look at the Jewish Midrash, that shows how Adam was originally androgynous and was divided into a male and a female. And then if you look in Hinduism, the story of how a soul was one and then was reincarnated into earth, it became a man and a woman. There's the same story, the same principle about soulmates that's virtually goes through every facet of every culture, which is interesting, somewhat the same. And many of the spiritual masters and teachers I've learned from over the years taught me that at one time, and this is what I believe, at one time, there was only God. Nothing else existed, but God desired companionship. He projected himself into sparks of divinity outside of himself. In order for God to experience being God, again, he had to create other beings, because how do you experience love? Only in relationships. In order for this to happen, that's what God did. It sparks of divinity, which became souls. And, that to me, that's what I was taught to believe. That's why we were created. And that's what I believe. Everybody's going to form their own opinion, but I really believe that that principle. That's why we were created, to be companions with God and co-creators with God in the universe. And we've talked a lot about that. So we were all connected in the beginning. And this is why, the idea of soulmates comes from the principle that somehow we were all connected at one point. So we're all soulmates with everyone else, ultimately connected as one. And the Tao teaches us that the greatest lesson that you can teach your children or they can learn in any religion is oneness, that we're all connected at a very deep level. That's the greatest lesson that we can learn. Following this line of thinking, we often, in soulmates relationships, these sparks of divinity that were originally sent out, which are souls, they follow us from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime through various periods of history, which is why sometimes we end up with the same people and we wonder why. If you want to find out if you have a soulmate relationship with somebody, then ask yourself, what type of emotional connection do I have with this person? Because any person you have a strong emotional relationship, either positive or negative, that's a soulmate. You have been with that person at one point, that boss or that coworker that drives us crazy, that we just can't stand. Even if we leave that job, we move away, we get another job, if we haven't completed what we needed, that person's going to follow us to another job. We're going to keep running into that person. So the point is, you know, there's no such thing as one perfect relationship. It just doesn't exist. We'd like it to. We have to find that one relationship, that one perfect relationship. It just doesn't, like I said, it's just not there. It doesn't exist. There are relationships that have gone through time and worked to the point where you see, a couple that is just really, it's everything's working for them. And everything just falls into place and they're very, very, very happy. Those relationships were built, created one experience, one interaction at a time, step by step. They weren't perfect. They just were created that way. And that's what you have to do. So ultimately, we can have these types of relationships with everybody if we work at it. So again, there's not just one relationship out there that's waiting for you. Every relationship is what you make it. And I'm going to go into this in a little bit more detail as we discuss more into the Akashic Records of how the future, the records, pull together our relationships and our experiences. And, you know, we're all connected to the Akashic Records. We just don't realize it. So there are certain important points that I want us all to remember as far as relationships. And one of them is, number one, every relationship has the potential to be a purposeful and helpful experience in terms of soul growth and personal development. And oftentimes this works because sometimes someone really challenges us. Someone really pushes our buttons. We've all experienced that. But it forces us to come up with the resources that we never knew we had, you know, a lot of times. And, you know, just being around that person challenges us to do something differently. And that's what we're tapped, you know, to learn. And so sometimes it can be a very, very hard growth experiences, but ultimately even our most difficult relationships can help us become a better person. And that's why that person was put in. And number two, our relationships with one another, and this is an important one, are destined to be repeated until they're healed. They're going to keep coming around. This always comes up in family relationships, doesn't it? Because who's a group of people that you can't get away from? Your family, right? People often ask me, Joe, how does this idea of relationships, if it's going to be continue to be repeated until we learn our lessons, how does this tie in with karma between people? So very often what happens is the universe will put the same people back together because they're working on a similar lesson. And so that often happens. For example, very often I'll do a reading for couples. I do a lot of couple readings. And the man or the woman will tell me that, and this is when they're separate, they'll ask this question, that will say, they'll tell the spouse, this is what you need to work on. And the other will say, this is what you need to work on. And that's not what you're supposed to be doing in the learning. What you should be doing is you should be sitting down with your partner once a week and just having a nice discussion and just asking, okay, I'm having a hard time with this. Ask for the suggestion. Just spend quality time instead of telling them what they need to work on. And that happens so often. People are often brought together to learn from one another, to grow and expand. And so our relationships with one another are destined to be repeated until they're healed. It's just a principle that the universe keeps putting in. It's a reason for our relationships. And, you know, number three, we learn most about ourselves through our interactions with others. And that's why I say people act like a mirror in our lives. At any one time, if we have an emotional response to another being, positive or negative, what's happening is we're seeing part of ourselves in that relationship. We're responding to it. In fact, it's impossible to have an emotional response to another human being and not see part of yourself. It's just not possible. If someone you really admire, you know, somebody brings out the best in you, then you're seeing a part of yourself in that person that you have, those qualities inside. Now, maybe you haven't worked on that quality or that ability to the same extent as the other person has, but you have those same qualities and abilities there. It's part of yourself. And so on the other hand, if somebody in your life really irritates you, really makes you mad, drives you crazy, and, you know, when they walk into a room, it makes your hair stand up on the back of your neck, you're seeing a part of yourself in them. You know, there's something there. we all like to, including me, like to think that hopefully the irritating quality in me is not as obvious as it is in another person. You always hope that. But I've struggled with this point for a long time because for many years, you know, I struggled with it until I came up with a little mantra that I'll say to myself that has always worked over the years, that even my own worst enemy has a best friend, and even my best friend has somebody who doesn't like him or her, and it's true. We're conditioned to see other people as a mirror. We see something in them that's very specific to ourselves, something that we need to work on or something that we need to work with in ourselves to develop further. If you want to see what you have to work on as a soul, look at your life and look at the people that you really admire, the people that inspire you. If you want to see what you have to work on, look at the people in your life that drive you crazy. You know, it simplifies it. We have to learn how to love everyone. Todd, have to learn how to love everyone with whom we come in contact with. Everyone that you come in contact with, we need to learn to love them. In the Bible, there's a phrase, God is no respecter of persons. Now, the way that I interpret that, people can take it differently, but I interpret that is that God loves us all equally, everyone equally. God loves even the co-worker, the boss that you can't stand, equally to you. Loves it the same way, same amount. God doesn't have to work with that person, which is maybe why I don't know. but ultimately, for whatever reason, God loves all of us equally. That's the way I take that to mean. Some people, they get a sense that they need to do something special to tune into the Akashic Records. Although it's possible to be tuned in and look at your unfolding future in the Akashic Records, we actually come in contact with the Akashic Records constantly. We just don't know it, but we're doing it. We meet a person and we have feelings, either positive or negative. We're actually tuning in to our memory is what we're doing with that person. And that comes from the Akashic Records. And the Akashic Records, that etheric field that surrounds the earth, each and every one of us has a personal connection to. We have a conscious mind, which we're all aware of, and then we have a subconscious mind. That's just below the surface, it daydreams, it's like a computer, it saves everything that we ever come in contact with, our subconscious mind. It's like a computer. It's identical, it's attached to the Akashic Records. That's why I've even heard some spiritual people say your subconscious mind is part of God, and in a way it really is, because it's always connected, we're always connected to the Akashic Records, we just don't know it. Very often we come to terms with those memories, in feelings, in records, in our relationships with other people. That's why understanding relationships, how they work, is so important to being able to understand and tune into the Akashic Records. That's why I feel that all relationships really have the potential, ultimately, to be purposeful and a helpful experience, and especially to our soul growth and personal transformation. Where most people have trouble is they're looking for that perfect relationship, that soulmate, that perfect one. They're looking for somebody to make them happy. And that's the intention for most people, to find somebody to make them happy. But instead, that's not what our intention should be. Our intention should be to find someone to make us whole, so we evolve in soul growth. Because when we do that, that's ultimately going to make us happier. When somebody makes us whole, helps us to do that. And now, that's a very different intention, than finding somebody to make you happy. And to find somebody to make you whole rather than someone to make you happy, you're becoming whole as we're continuing on our soul journey. We all return to our awareness that the ultimate intention is to become one with God, one with the universe. And we're never done until we all achieve that. That purpose, that intention, that we're all one with God. Even you think about that person that you dislike, that drives you crazy, that you can't stand, until that person is one with God, we're not done either. We keep coming back to help each other, to reincarnate. And so the saying is that we're all in this together. That really is true. That is really a true saying, because we all are in this together. Buddhism teaches this very, very, it's a big part of Buddhism, that we keep coming back and we have to keep coming back and helping other souls until every single soul has made it. And that's what's another thing that we learn in the Akashic Records. Everything that's happening to us, is good or bad, is really for our benefit. We need to learn to help us with our soul growth and our personal transformation. So finding somebody to make you whole instead of making you happy, it's one of the most difficult ideas for people to get, and they struggle with it. And unfortunately, some people throughout the lifetime never get that. never get that. Yeah, I have this question asked of me an awful lot too, that especially from younger people, that how do I find my soulmate? And I can always, when I do a reading for them, that there could be many soulmates for them. There's not just one. Another question, you know, I'm asked a lot. People that are engaged will come to me, and is this the person I should marry? That's a big one. Or is there somebody else out there that would make me happy, that I'd be happier with? And, you know, I do the reading, and I can always see that, of course, they ask me this when their fiancé is not with them. So, I mean, it's not me either. But, you know, I can always see that that person, he or she, could be happy. But ultimately, marriage is going to be what you choose to make it. You know, that's what it's going to come down to. You know, if you're waiting for that one perfect person, it's not there. It's not there. So you could say, okay, just pick one or not. You know, so you could just, you know, look at it that way. I love this quote. I don't know where it came from, but I really like it. Is marriage is nature's way of preventing us from fighting with strangers. Yeah, I really like that quote. I think that makes a lot of sense too. That's why I like it.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening. Come back and listen to any of Joe's podcasts as often as you'd like. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information on how to reawaken the voice of your spirit, visit joeloveiw.com.